Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, everybody. Hour two. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. That was great.
Nomar.
Just bringing it straight.
Because he's got an old school. We were talking about this with Adam Hawk. He has an old school attitude because he came up. He's our age. He's like maybe a year younger than us. So, and we also like to mark time with like, because when we found out that Gloria James, LeBron James' mom, is like
50.
She's like 3 years older than us.
So we say, like, now how many LeBron's moms is that person?
Yeah.
So Nomar's
almost one LeBron's mom.
That's a good way to mark time. Do you want to talk about this Madden thing, Rand? It came out last week.
We can get to it later.
Well, either way.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. Because I do want to talk NFL a little bit.
And by the way, Gary McCord coming up in the segment two of this hour. We can't wait to get into golf talk with him.
So Madden 19, just like Madden 18, scrubbed out Colin Kaepernick's name, I guess in this year, in a rap song that came out on the soundtrack.
So the artist, the rapper, included his name in there.
Sean Don.
Ron John and Sean John of rappers.
Right. So Sean Don, I think the lyric was, and I want to get it right. By the way, not a curse word. Something about Cap. Like, you're my, I don't know what the exact line was, but I know that he had a reference to Colin Kaepernick that got knocked out as if it was a swear word, because they knock out the swear words because, you know, they want it to be available for everyone.
Yeah,
they don't want
all ages.
They don't want to upgrade it.
They don't
want to
say that there's like illicit language in there.
But you know how everyone's going nuts over that Madden soundtrack when it comes out. It's like Kanye album. Remember, I think every year
Kanye's EP dropped.
Every year they take the Madden soundtrack to Montana. They have a listening party. All the critics talk about what it means.
Uh-huh.
By the way, Sean Don, the rap artist, was not cool with them scrubbing.
Yeah, he actually tweeted. He said it's disappointing and appalling at NFL and at EA took at Kaepernick 7. So he added everybody.
By the way, I love everybody.
He called out everybody.
I love it.
Name out of my verse on Big Bang for Madden 19, like it was a curse word. When he's not a curse,
he isn't.
He's a gift. Nobody from my team approved this.
And you know he's got a team. He's got a really big team.
He's got some really big rings.
Yeah.
That's great.
Look, it is a curse to some people. Some people see Kaepernick as a curse.
Yep.
And that is unfortunate.
And by some people, you mean all NFL owners and our president.
Right.
By the way, if Cleveland had any backbone, they would have given him a job last year when they were going to
0-16. What does it hurt to put a guy who's gone to the Super Bowl on your roster? I mean, he's DeShone Kizer with like better decision making.
At this point, it is a joke, but not as much of a joke as EA Sports' response to this.
They said, quote, "We made an unfortunate mistake with our Madden NFL. An unfortunate mistake. Members of our team misunderstood the fact that while we don't have rights to include Colin Kaepernick in the game, that doesn't affect soundtracks. We messed up, and the edit should have never happened." Is that the equivalent of my Twitter got hacked?
Yeah.
Is that what that excuse is?
That's that now.
New phone, who dis?
Yeah.
Is that what that is from EA Sports?
Kind of.
It did happen. You did it. That's one phone call. Hey, can we put Colin in the game? Just his name in the rap song? Yes?
Yes.
All right, we're good. Can. I just checked.
By the way, even if he's not in the game, but he's in the rap song, like, what did you not want his message to be out there?
We're trying to eliminate him from the earth?
Existence of him, period. Like, if you bought a Beats by Dre set of headphones from when Kaepernick was
in the ad,
do you have to now return them because those are tainted headphones? You don't see Beats doing that.
You had to edit that out. Like, that's
somebody
a conscious
had to
choice.
Say, cut it out, drop it, drop the audio.
Look, some people are saying pile this on his lawsuit against the league that's trying to, you know, blackball him in a sense, no pun intended, blackball this dude from the league.
And by the way, for those people who think that Colin Kaepernick doesn't matter anymore, two people, all right, he might upset some people, but he matters to people. I was at Universal Studios this past weekend with my daughter for her 11th birthday, waiting in line at the Harry Potter ride.
Name dropper.
Thank you. waiting in line, go on the magical ride.
Sure.
I saw two young African-American dudes wearing 49ers jerseys. And I was like, I want the line to snake around so I can see
who's on the back. Garoppolo.
Garoppolo and Kaepernick. I was like, that's amazing.
There it is.
The dude put on the Kaepernick jersey, not because that's the only jersey that he owns. He put it on, in my opinion, to make a statement. And he was standing right
next to
statement. And he was standing right next to an older Hispanic woman wearing a Frida Kahlo shirt. And I was like, that's no mistake.
That's the universe telling me something.
Exactly.
One world, one brow.
I mean, it's not like he wasn't
there to protest.
I bet he identified with the woman in the Frida Kahlo shirt more than the woman.
Than the dude in the Garoppolo shirt. Of course. Freedom fighters.
He still means something to him. It's not like this guy, by the way, in the Kaepernick jersey, kneeled down, took a knee when Dumbledore gave his speech about making sure your arms are inside the thing. You know? I mean,
He's just being himself. I don't know if Kaepernick ever plays again. The window's closing on that as time goes on. Mm-hmm. But, man, it would be amazing to see if he could come in and just help a team that needs someone desperately. There will be those teams this year. Trust me, there will be 1, 2, 3 teams this season that will not have a quarterback and that needs one.
I feel like Jay Cutler is going to get a job before Kaepernick, and he's been out. I feel like he's going to get a job before Kaepernick just to get him off the Kristen Cavallari show.
Yeah.
As she's talking about how he's good at sex again on that show.
Oh.
I don't need to hear that about Cutler.
No one wants to think about that about Cutler. I don't even want to think about him smoking a cigarette after sex.
Well, he's always smoking a cigarette. Sidelines.
Has he smoked during like plays? If they went in tight on a shot of Cutler.
My favorite thing is the huddle. Jay Cutler smoking. I'm gonna look it up.
Because it's everywhere. Jay Cutler smoking is something you should be checking out.
There are so many images of Jay Cutler smoking.
Kaepernick couldn't get put on a team. That is shocking to me.
By the way, he's not really smoking. It's just people who have photoshopped a cigarette.
Because he seems like he's always smoking. He can get up. I saw the video of Cutler dunking. I saw him dunking.
Yeah, but I bet Kaepernick could dunk.
Kaepernick could definitely dunk. Kaepernick threw an 87-mile-an-hour first pitch out at a game.
Yeah.
87. The guy has a phenomenal arm. The guy has amazing legs. The guy can stretch plays out.
But it goes back to the moment of the person at EA Sports who or was given the direct. My guess is that they sent the full rap song, you know, the Shondon song to the NFL. And the NFL said, you got to cut this out.
Cut this dude out.
We don't want to have anything. This guy sued us. He's suing us. We don't want to have anything that's associated with the league.
Glorifying this guy.
Colin Kaepernick. And they're like, what do we do? The rap song's already been done. We already paid this guy to do it.
Scrub it out.
Like it's a curse word. Scrub it out.
And they did. And they got caught. Because the artist is obviously going to listen and be like, whoa, whoa. I had a lyric in here.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote something here. This mm-hmm. is my work you're putting in here. And he spoke up. And, of course, it came all the way back. And some person at EA Sports has to take the fall. And they have to stand up and be like, we made a mistake. We didn't realize you couldn't use his name in a song. You knew. You're acting like you don't know, and you knew. Let's hit the line right now.
Is this really hockey, dude? Is this really for real? We have
Ozzie
Guillen. I don't know. I think
it could be Ozzie Guillen. Are you there, sir? It's the Sklar brothers filling in for Jim Rome.
Ozzy, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Ozzy. It's the Sklar brothers.
I can't hear you that good.
Okay. Well, you got to put the phone to your ear, my friend.
I always have a phone in the ear. That's all ever that I keep a phone.
Oh, you always keep a phone in the ear. And I know because you're hoping that a major
someone might call you for a job. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick. It's hard for him to get a job. You won a World Series, and you're still trying to get a job.
I won the 2005. Oh, I won the World Series with Jeff Blum, with Bobby John, and nobody said I could do it. And why you leave it? and Juan Uribe. Nobody talking about Juan Uribe.
People don't.
Juan Uribe is 64-year-old when he won the title.
I don't know if Juan Uribe was 64 when he won the title. That is really amazing. So
64, 72.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk.
He's an old guy.
A baker's dozen.
Yeah. So what are you doing these days to try and keep sharp? I mean, how do you stay, you know, ready that in case a team gives you a call, boom, there you are.
Right now, I'm just in the security line at an airport.
Oh, okay.
And that's a good place for me to hang out. I meet people, and I can send people in the right line. I say, hey, lane 2 is open.
Lane 2.
Lane 4 is slow. I wave them home. I wave them home.
You do. You literally and figuratively are waving them home.
That's right.
I'm not going to be flying. I just like to hang out at the airport.
Okay.
And then that way I'm closer to the next job.
Yeah. Whatever that may be. You got to be around.
You seem like you're in great spirits, but how are you underneath it all?
We always got to ask.
I wish that you did not ask me that, because I'm always in a great mood until I'm not.
Yeah.
And all it takes is just one mention of that, and, you know.
Yeah.
Then I start to think about things are not that good for me. I'll be having a tough time for about 12 years.
Yep. 12, 13. Yep.
I guess you could say that I'm in a little bit of a slunk.
I think it's a slump.
I've been in a slunk. I gotta get off the Schneiders.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, how do you?
But
do
I don't
that?
Know.
I mean, look.
They
listen.
Say that you should be with a. Overweight woman, and that's the way to do it. But I'm a married man.
No.
So I don't know.
Maybe that is the way to get off the slump.
I need someone give me a sign to swing away. That's what I'm waiting for, the third base coach. Give me a sign to swing away.
Listen, you have a very infectious laugh. Perhaps
if you could just drum up a big laugh from the deep insides, you can maybe come out on the other side and feel better. You want to try one?
Summon it from deep within.
Listen. Ranji, Drayson, I want to do it for you. Yeah. I'm going to try and do it for one.
Do it for Bobby Jenks.
I would do one for Bobby Jenks. Hey, I think I came back now.
See, look at that.
See, it's like starting. Okay. It's like starting.
They're going to make me take off all my clothes again.
Oh, no.
Not just the shoe. They're going to make me take off everything.
Oh, man. Ozzy,
I got 3 layers of sweatpants on.
You should not be in sweatpants. You got to start dressing up.
You guys cheer me up again and keep on looking. I put out a profile for the monster.com.
Okay, so I'm waiting
to find out.
Put your resume on monster.com.
And we're putting it out there on this radio show. If you are a baseball team.
Please put my resume out on Monsters, Inc. and let me know what happened.
Okay? We will do.
I think it's monster.com.
Monsters, Inc. is a children's movie. But thank you.
I love it. I love it. All the pictures on the Pixars and the stars and all of these ones. Yep. Coco is good. I love Herbie. I love Herbie Goes Bananas.
Yep.
That's not a Pixar movie. All of these guys. I think that was live action. All right. Ozzy, thank you for thanks for checking in with us.
Good luck at the airport and just trying to keep.
Listen, airport is one place I don't need luck. They let me in the lounge. I don't know why.
That's amazing. Because you're Ozzy Guillen.
And you're going to rise
that.
Again.
You will rise again. We love you, Ozzy.
Okay, be good, guys.
You be good, too.
Wow. Ozzy Guillen. There it is. My man.
I fell on some hard times. Guy won a World Series.
And he can't get higher. We're talking about Kaepernick. We're in the same breath, you could talk about Ozzy Guillen.
Guy won a World Series. And he showed up drunk to a Marlins meeting.
Fine.
To be the manager
Who
there.
Who hasn't?
If By the way, Marlins it's the, coach, it's I the would Marlins. Drunk. To me, if you were drunk and you ran the Marlins, you'd probably do a better job. You wouldn't trade away everybody.
That's how they get the fans in the stands at this point. They get them drunk. It's the only way you can do it. It's a giant pachinko board in the outfield.
You know what's in the back, in the aquarium behind home plate? Vodka. Straight vodka.
That's why they can't keep the fish alive.
I don't have confirmation on that. Let's take a break.
When we come back, Gary McCord. I had to catch my breath.
Ozzy Guillen is working hard. Let's see if he can get back into this whole. He should be a manager.
Let's get him hired.
We'll get Gary McCord on the other side of the break. This is Glad Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
There's something to be said for being the best. You know you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know you can't be the best until you've beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong. Like Castrol Edge, it's the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Imagine being lined up across the ball from someone who's at 100% when you're at 90. Advantage the other guy. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it's three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. That's strength. That's the strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I said, wait, I'm a part-time lover and an all-around guy. You got to know I got the late-night magic and perpetual high. It's all right, I got to keep on moving so I never run dry. You want to go, say if you dig me, baby, won't you get
there are the Sheepdogs, they're good friends of ours. We're the Sklar Brothers. I want to mention CBS Sports Network brings you full pre- and post-round coverage of the 100th PGA Championship when they tee things off Thursday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with On the Range, and wrap up each day's play with Clubhouse Report, all presented by Citi. I'm excited about this PGA tournament, because we grew up in the shadow of Belrive Country Club, but because this is the last major of the season, and this is the last year that this will be the last major of the season, of the golf season. I want to bring
You're not including the Tiger Phil $10 million... That's pretty major.
Thanksgiving. When we're grateful.
This is what we're thankful for.
Phil Mickelson in a tight-fitting long-sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
Because it will be around Thanksgiving.
It's the time you can wear it.
Is he on the line? Is Gary here? All right, I love this. Randy and I watch golf. We make no bones about it. We tell our family to relax while we lay on the couch and watch golf and get soothed into magic. And Gary McCord is part of that. He's got to be excited about this PGA tournament because the greens are soft. Gary, are you there? We're the Sklar Brothers, and we'd love to talk golf with you.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, we're great. You must be very excited just to be on the precipice of this last major of the year. There's a lot of great golf to be played this week. The greens are soft. The scoring is going to be insane. What do you expect?
Yeah, kind of what I expect. I expect we had some violent storms here yesterday, obviously, at the Midwest. And it's summertime, so the golf course is soft. It is Tarzan hot here. And, the guys can be flinging it, 350 off the tee, and the wedges are going to be stopping right where they land. So we're going to hear a lot of noise cascading through the trees here for birdies and eagles. It should be very interesting viewing.
Yeah, Belrive's about a mile and a half, 2 miles from where we grew up as kids. And so we remember just passing by that course. One of the longest PGAs, it's about a mile of golf will be played. The length obviously plays into the guys who can hit it long. But interesting what Rory said yesterday about how, his ability to drive long and hit it straight is great, but that may actually take away from his ability to hit his wedges. Did you find that interesting, that comment that he made?
No, he's got a golf swing, and we've talked about that a bunch before. He's got a golf swing built for a driver. Mm. So basically what happens, there's a backswing plane, mm-hmm. okay, and then the downswing plane comes to the inside of it. All power hitters have that. They come from the inside, and they just tag it. Well, if you're hitting a driver, that's great because you're hitting way up in the air and hit as hard as you can. With a wedge, you start to get dropping the wedge down inside, so your divot's going too far to the right. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now you can get some problems with the distance. You can get some problems with where it's going, hanging on or pulling, blah, 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 golf talk. But, middle part of the year, he started to match up both planes, and he was playing pretty good, and now he's starting to drop a little bit in the short end. He'll figure it out.
Yeah.
They all figure it out.
They do. What about Jordan Spieth?
Is he still fried from what happened at the Open? Or?
But going for the career slam here, where do you think he's at?
I like the way I like to look at these guys is they all have demons. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them's got demons. Some of them, the demons have got party hats on and lipstick and everything else, and they come out.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan's got a lot. His demons are getting very heavy. Mm. A lot of lipstick and party hats, and they're just having a ball with him right now. And that's kind of what I see him. He's conflicted. There's too much stuff going on. So whether he can figure it out here or not, sure, he's got the pedigree too. But I wouldn't necessarily pick him just because he's a little twitchy at the moment.
Yeah, and speaking of demons, Tiger at the press conference yesterday, you know, was saying, look, he was fatigued last week. He's 42. He's been through four back surgeries.
Is that an excuse after a not-so-great final two rounds, or is that
it's
just the reality?
It's not untrue. It's true, but is that an excuse?
Yeah, no, you're dead right. It's true. This is the most golf he's played in a long time, probably 5 years.
Yeah.
He's played, I think, 5 out of 7, and he's got him lined up all the way through the Ryder Cup that gets in. So he's playing a lot of golf right now. And guys, he's got four screws in his lower back.
Right.
And, you know, if you try that and have it done four times, you know, some days, like he said, some days you get up, you haven't got it. And that's kind of scary, you know, if you're really playing good and really relying on the fact that you've got some mojo going and all of a sudden, you know, your body at 42 is not going to progress the way it wants and you're going to have some problems on the golf course. So that's always – we're going to live with that with Tiger. We don't know when the back's not going to feel good. He doesn't get loose, and he's not going to be able to play too good. He is playing well.
He is.
It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time until he wins one. Oh, you know, just every once in a while something's going to happen right. Everything's going to go great for him, and he's going to win.
Could be this weekend. Could be this weekend. You never know if he puts those.
No, you absolutely never know. And it's going to be nice and warm here, so he'll stay loose. But, you know, it's always going to be that speculation now of how do you feel for the rest of his career? How do you feel? Can you keep going in the direction you're going right now and feel free and kill it? We just look at this Clubhead speech. They measured it first part of the year. There was a couple of wild ones, like 128 miles an hour to 129.
Yeah.
He's down every week now. He's down to 117 miles an hour. So it's like a baseball pitcher.
Right.
You know, hey, what's going on? I got a dead arm. I'm throwing as hard as I can. I'm throwing 88 and 89, and I'm usually 95, 96. So there's something going on. And that's what Tiger's got going.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about two other guys who are as hot as can be. Justin Thomas, obviously, he just won.
Defending champ.
Last week, defending champ. And Molinari. I mean, to me, those two guys, Molinari has won a bunch, placed second a bunch in the last 7 events. He's been incredible. I do think those guys have to be looked at, and of course Dustin Johnson every single time. But where do you think those guys are? How do you think they're going to do this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only thing with Justin, can you win 2 in a row?
Right.
After last week on that long hard golf course that they were playing, he's got the pedigree. Obviously, won 3 times this year, and yes, he's in great form, so he's going to be there, guaranteed. In the last, you know, the last couple of 3 groups, the last day. Molinari is just kind of learning how to. He's working with this guy now. It's really interesting. He's a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches you. I don't know how he knows, but he teaches you. They call it the assassin ways.
Mm.
To finalize, to get it in finish,
to close.
He's teaching. I don't know what the hell he's teaching him, but I think these guys might be lining up with the guy sooner or later because he's come out of nowhere, being a really good player in the past, but now he can finish. And maybe this guy's helping him.
I mean, he's not the biggest hitter on the tour, but he's got a great short game, and he's putting like crazy. I mean, he is learning how to
– literally how to finish holes.
How to finish off holes and how to close. And that shows you that, look, you don't have to be Tiger Woods, a guy who's worked out and looked like he's got an athlete's body. Nothing against Molinari's body, but he looks like a regular guy going out and playing golf. It actually gives hope to everybody out there.
The rest of us.
The rest of us, that there is some hope out there.
Not that much hope.
Yeah,
not
okay,
that much
thank
hope.
You're
Gary.
On the right track, guys. Yeah.
Thank you. Talking to Gary McCord, who is going to do a great job this weekend. I know we can't wait. We're going to watch you on CBS as you're calling the PGA. What is the most exciting event for the guys, you know, on tour? Obviously, the majors are really big, but is there one major that sort of stands out for these guys
that
more
we wouldn't, as just fans, that we don't know
we don't
that they
know
get
about?
Up for?
You know, I judge it by the fact that how wide-eyed they are and how much lack of blinking is going on.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open, they don't blink much, okay? A Ryder Cup, they don't blink for a week.
Right.
And I've never seen stark fright in guys like the Ryder Cup. Never. It's a total different dimension. We did the first one when I went over, 1989, and we did it back over in Scotland, I think. And I came back and I told the guys, I said, I've never seen this. These guys couldn't talk. They couldn't do it. They were just stuttering, slobbering and stuttering. They were just caught up in this whole deal, and it's gotten worse ever since. But Ryder Cup catches our attention, all of them.
Yeah, there's so much on the line. You're playing for more than just yourself or a money purse. You're playing for your country or playing for your continent, as
your
it were.
Rights, yeah.
And the history of it all, which is great. I mean, look, I think this is going to be a very low-scoring weekend this weekend. What do you think is...
Is a minus 20 going to win this tournament?
Are we looking at a minus 18, minus 16 to win this thing?
Well, we'll see how the greens putt. That's going to be the big deal. Right now, it's slow, so the ball's not bouncing all over the place. So the one thing you do on the PGA Tour to get the scores up, you have hard, fast greens and a hard golf course that's bouncy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get it the other way, it's going to play a little longer, but these guys really don't care about length. So if you can just kind of get the ball out there and then spot the ball on the green and control your distance, it's nothing to be but birdie putts. And then you can figure out the greens. Sooner or later, they're going to figure them out. Take them maybe a day, 2 days to figure them out, and they'll get going. But, we're supposed to have some thunderstorms on the weekend. The next couple of days are supposed to be pretty good, just hot.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think Nick Price won it with 6 under the last time we had it here in 1992, I believe. I'm looking at, I just throw a number, I'd say 15.
15.
15 under. All right, we'll hold you to
15
that.
15 under par, 12, 69, 68, throw those in every day.
Yep.
We'll see what happens.
I think you're on point. I think it's going to be between 15 and 20. I really do, because I think guys are going to be going at it. They're going to be going at the birdies hard because, I mean, what would be great is to see Phil Mickelson hit it on a slow green and then before it stops rolling, hit it again. That, to me, would be fantastic just to show the...
He wouldn't have to jog together. He could just kind of saunter.
Take two steps over. To me, that would just show that he has a sense of humor about
great.
It, right?
Well, you've seen his dance moves now. So
I have seen them.
He's quick on his feet for an elderly guy.
I can't unsee that. I'd like to unsee it.
Nobody can.
It's much TV.
Here's what I love... Here's what I love about what you do, Gary, is that you have fun doing it, and I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. We're going to enjoy watching you on CBS Sports. Just have a great time. It should be fun. That's our hometown. And go to Ted Drew's while you're there.
Get some frozen custard.
I will. Right. Tell me something.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sklar Brothers wrapping up hour two. I got to love this next segment. I want to remind people you can email us at romanhaveatake.com. And the huge email of the day, Barbasol Razors. Barbasol is finally making razors. That is a no-brainer.
Needed to do that.
Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Stay on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. We will be choosing a big email by the end of the day.
Email us at RomanHaveAtake.com.
You can call in. Give them the hotline.
800-636-8686.
Connor,
call in.
Do we want your take? Yes, we do.
We've got a fellow St. Louisan.
Thank you.
We got a fellow St. Louisan on the line right now. He is one of the hosts on NBA TV. I watch him all the time. He used to be on ESPN, and he is.
You made that sound like I don't watch him.
Yeah, Randy. Jay, you don't watch him as much as I do.
I watch him too.
We are happy to welcome to the show our friend Matt Weiner. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well, and I noted you're hawking razors before you introduced me. And
sure.
I don't know if you've seen me during Summer League, but I'm bearded this summer.
Are you bearded?
Nice.
I am, and I'm really waiting for the 10-blade razor to come out until I shave again.
We're at 6 now.
6 is not going to do it for me.
You need at least 8 to 10. We'll let them know that.
Copy that.
Let me just ask you on a completely unrelated non-basketball note. The PGA is happening in St. Louis, our hometown. Do you know anybody who's going? Would you? you ever just be like, hey, I'm heading out there, I'm Matt Weiner, and just walk onto like the ninth hole and just say, hey, I'm here?
And just tee it up?
Yeah, tee it up.
Why not?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I don't think you want a crowd near me. I think that's important first and foremost.
As a golfer? Or just?
I know lots of people there because my my Turner brethren from TNT are broadcasting the PGA Championship.
There you go.
Tomorrow and Friday and parts of Saturday and Sunday. So I know a bunch of people there. And I've got friends going as well. But as far as the Turner folks, I've already had, you know, like the Emo's Pizza discussion.
Good.
Prepped them for that.
Let them know.
Told them what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, gave them the idea that you got to tell them they might not like it, but you should try it while you're there.
They might not like it, but you and Jason and I love it.
Because Emo's Pizza, even though when you're eating it, you're like, am I eating the pizza or the box that it came in? You're saying to yourself, this is St. Louis. This is St. Louis.
You know what? I avoid cheese like 98% of my life.
It's good.
But Emo's Pizza is literally the first thing I will eat when I arrive in St. Louis every single time.
And can we really say what is Provel cheese? It's provolone, it's mozzarella, and I think it's Clydesdale plasma, maybe. No idea. As
that
a binding
agent. Secret sauce.
Yes. Yeah, we don't know. We don't know what it is. All right, let's get to the NBA because
Huge trade news yesterday.
Yeah, huge trade news, and I don't know what to make of it. So help us make sense of Carmelo Anthony
to the Rockets
to go play for a coach he didn't really like in New York and be another scorer on a team that didn't really need another scorer. Tell us about this.
Well, they had the conversation first and foremost. They said that's in the past. Mike D'Antoni said he'd be fine with Carmelo. Carmelo's obviously fine with playing for Mike D'Antoni or he wouldn't be going there.
Right.
But the overriding philosophy of Daryl Morey, aside from all the analytical stuff, aside from the penchant for shooting 63s if you can get him up in a game, mm-hmm. is that above all, he values talent. Mm-hmm. Over fit, over philosophy, over anything else. And Carmelo Anthony is still a talent. He did not play particularly well for the Oklahoma City Thunder last season, but with a reduced role, maybe he's willing to come off the bench, although he said he wouldn't be in Oklahoma City. But reduced minutes, you would have to expect. He can still score the ball, and that's something the Rockets value, whether he's a three-point shooter or a mid-range guy or whatever. They made it work with Chris Paul, and they feel like they can make it work with Carmelo Anthony because, again, talent, theoretically, makes the team better.
Well, what about his defense, though? I mean, that's what...
Defense!
What defense?
What defense?
They don't need no stinking defense.
Well, Trevor...
Well, that's a fair question. You know, they've lost a couple of really good wing defenders, obviously, in Trevor Ariza and Luka Bamute, mm-hmm. For a team that I believe was sixth in the NBA in defensive efficiency last year. And that was the big difference along with Chris Paul last season, was that they were a credible defensive team.
Yep.
That is certainly a question mark this season when you think of who left and who's coming in, because Melo's never been a great defender, and he's not likely to get better in his mid-30s.
No.
Well, when you think about adding players in terms of just adding talent versus fit, I mean, I feel like the Golden State Warriors have done both. They've added talented players that then fit with the system.
Upgrades.
You know what I mean? Like the Boogie Cousins, obviously Boogie went around and no one wanted him except the Golden. He actually called the Golden State Warriors and said, please, can I come and play for you? But, like, that is an upgrade from JaVale McGee. Do we agree?
Oh, sure. In terms of skill, I guess in terms of fit, that would be an open question because the things that JaVale McGee did were really complementary to what the Warriors did. He's a pick and roll guy in terms of being mm-hmm. the lob man on a roll, mm-hmm. and he's a guy who can defend the rim and be a shot blocker, and those aren't necessarily DeMarcus Cousins' strength. On the other hand, he's as skilled as they come among big men, and it's hard to ignore for the price that they paid for 1 year and a motivated guy who needs to prove to the rest of the league that he is A, healthy, and B, can fit in with the right kind of culture, a championship culture. It's kind of a low risk on the Warriors' part for that kind of talent.
And if
now, to me, I've always said this, to me, if I'm running a franchise, the prospect of paying DeMarcus Cousins $200 million or more and having him as the face of my franchise is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Warriors and the situation they're in and for what they're paying, there's nothing really on the line for them.
Low
Take
risk.
A flyer.
Low risk. And if he's in the game, you have to respect him down low. The ball goes into him. If you can just get him to get the ball back out to one of the shooters, they're going to get open looks.
Well, and he's got fantastic footwork. He's a great passer out of the post. He has some range as a shooter. I mean, there's never been any question about his skills. He's just phenomenally skilled. The ceiling is incredibly high with DeMarcus Cousins moving forward if he's healthy.
Yep.
The question has always been, can he keep himself on the floor? Can he stay out of foul trouble? Can he stay out of the referees' faces?
Right.
Can he be a good influence, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, look, Draymond Green's job is to get in the referees' faces. So you already have somebody does that on that team.
And Kevin Durant.
And Kevin Durant, too. Yeah. So, all right, the Christmas Day schedule came out yesterday.
LeBron's Lakers.
Officially, it didn't come out till today.
All right, it came out today.
I think in about 12 minutes.
Fine. It's coming out today. You beat me to it. But the point is that, like, there are some games. You got 76ers, Boston. That's going to be a great game. Oklahoma City, Houston. That's going to be a great game now with the Melo factor. What game are you looking forward to the most on that day?
Probably Lakers Golden State. You've got the LeBron factor, obviously. We'll have had a chance at that point to see him in a Laker uniform for a couple of months. But remember the start that he got off to and his team got off to in Miami, and then when his return to Cleveland, they were shaky. So you give him that sort of 2-month grace period, and you'll have a better idea of what the Lakers are. Look, I'm not saying they're not going to be anywhere as good as the Golden State Warriors, at least in my opinion.
Right.
But at least they'll have an idea. They'll have their footing under them. They'll have an idea of who they are. It juices up the Laker-Warrior rivalry in the state of California. Lots of reasons to watch that. And it's LeBron against the Warriors again. I mean, that's as compelling as it gets.
It is. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think the Lakers that LeBron is on now, this team, is better than the Cleveland team he was on last year?
In terms of playoff success, I would say no, as it currently stands. Mm-hmm. But it's close. You know, the Lakers are so young. If they reach the playoffs, there's a learning curve. And for guys, if they make it, and I think they will, if they make it, you know, that's the first time around for Lonzo Ball. It's the first time around for Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
Rajon Rondo makes a huge difference in the postseason. We saw that in the Blazer-Pelican series last year when playoff Rondo showed up and did all kinds of things to baffle that great Portland backcourt.
Right.
So that even things out a little bit. But Cleveland, even though that was not a great playoff team, there was a little more experience out there with guys like George Hill and certainly Kevin Love and Kyle Korver and some other guys who had been to the finals before, and I think that makes a difference.
Yeah. So are you surprised the Lakers didn't try and go out right now and get another sort of make a harder play for a Kawhi Leonard or Paul George? They whiffed on both of those guys. I mean, could they get him in a year or two? I don't know. But were you surprised that the Lakers didn't try and add one more superstar piece to LeBron here?
Well, I don't know that they didn't, first of all. I think they were hoping that Paul George would make a different decision. Now, that, to me, was the single biggest surprise of the summer, is that George decided to stick around at Oklahoma City after all the talk about going back to L.A. and playing for the Lakers. The Kawhi Leonard situation is a little differently. I think their assumption is probably that they can land him next summer anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think for LeBron, I felt like this was a longer-term move than the last couple of times he changed teams because he sees how young that roster is. I think this was as much lifestyle, business interest, family happiness, for the same reasons that you guys probably live out there because of the weather and the opportunities and all the meetings you can take within the entertainment industry that you can't do in Cleveland or St. Louis.
That's right.
I think it was as much about that as it was about basketball. And basketball-wise, he's as smart and as astute an evaluator of players as there is among players in the league. I think he probably sees something he likes in Brandon Ingram, in Lonzo Ball, and sees that they can develop with the addition of Kawhi or whoever it might be next summer.
Yep. I mean, we live out here really just for the cheap housing and the no traffic. But that's why we do it. But here's a question for you, and I know this sort of came up. I know we're in the off season, but you know, when LeBron kind of came under fire from the president, And a lot of players, current players who he plays against, backed him, even Jordan in a weird way. Was that a moment? I mean, not to get political in this moment, but was that a moment of solidarity from NBA players? And this is our last question.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think you've seen some of that before with player protests over Trayvon Martin, for instance, where they have, as groups, as teammates, taken particular actions, whether it's wearing a shirt or, you know, doing something on social media together. You have seen this.
The All-Star game in Charlotte. Yeah, the All-Star game in Charlotte, pulling it out of there.
I love it. All right, man. We can't wait to watch you this NBA season.
Tune in to NBA TV throughout August for Team Days program with a full day dedicated to each organization and some of their most memorable moments. Matt Weiner, we love watching you on NBA TV. We're going to keep doing it. Way to represent St. Louis.
Go Cardinals.
And keep that beard game strong, brother.
I'll see what I can do. Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, buddy. I love it. Matt Weiner. Hour three, right around the corner. We're going to talk some Big Ten football. We're the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us.